host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the remote man cave in Omaha, Nebraska, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast are Kevin Bentley.
Good evening.
David Matt.
Howdy, folks.
And Kevin Crossman.
Well, hi, everyone.
Now, tonight on the Diz Dad's podcast, we're going to be talking about the hotels of Disneyland Resort. And here we're focusing specifically on the on-property Disneyland Resort hotels, Grand Californian, Disneyland Hotel, Paradise Pier. But before we get into that discussion, I do want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. The next time you're considering a trip to Disneyland, Disney World, on the Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, heck, even Disneyland Paris, a Fairytale Journeys travel agent would love to help you make that vacation as magical as possible. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. All right, guys. Talking about the hotels of the Disneyland Resort, this is one of those times when I kind of throw myself on the mercy of the panel because, you know, I've got some of the maybe, you know, basic biographical information about the hotels, for lack of a better word for it. But, you know, you guys are the experts with more of the firsthand experience there in the hotels. And so I want to start by talking about the Disneyland Hotel because it's both the oldest of the on-property Disneyland hotels, and it's also the one that has had the most recent renovation. So it kind of got both ends of it. So I don't know, Kevin, you want to start us off with talking a little bit about the Disneyland Hotel?
Sure, Aaron. So Disneyland Hotel is located just adjacent to downtown Disney. And since they did that renovation about a decade ago, it's actually been felt much more integrated to the whole resort property, in my opinion. And there's three gigantic towers here for the Disneyland Hotel. And as you noted, they've gone through some recent renovations so that each of these towers is themed to a land at Disneyland. So there's a Frontier Tower, an Adventure Tower, and a Fantasy Tower with appropriate theming. And this is the hotel that is, quote-unquote, just right. It's not too cheap. It's not too expensive. It's right in the middle. And I'm sure we'll talk about some of the amenities. But if you're looking for a very sort of down-the-middle Disney-themed hotel, this is the one you're going to want to go for because it has, you know, lots of Disney characters, lots of Disney theming. And, you know, we'll talk in detail about the rooms, I suppose. But very, very nice place to stay at the Disneyland Resort.
Yeah, and we should mention, you know, this is a good place to bring up that when Disneyland opened, there were no Disney-owned hotels. Disney wasn't in the hotel business. And the Disneyland Hotel existed. It existed in the same location and roughly the same sort of shape. But it was privately owned by another person, and it was owned by the Rather family for the first 30 years or so that the hotel was around. It was built opened in 1955, and Disney didn't take over until the mid-1980s. Obviously, it's gotten bigger, it's expanded, and they just completed a major renovation of it. But, you know, this is just kind of an example of one of those things that's unique about Disneyland as compared to Disney World. Disney wasn't in the hotel business at the time that they built the theme park, and, you know, they weren't in the theme park business either. So they figured one new line of business was enough at a time. And it wasn't, obviously, until later that they started kind of taking over hotel operations as well. So why don't we talk a little bit, I guess, an overview of the other two hotels as well, and then we'll get into some more detail. So, you know, there weren't any more hotels that were controlled by Disney on property there until right around 2000 when Disney took over another sort of existing hotel that had been run by a separate company, the Paradise Pier Hotel, as it was renamed. And that happened in 2000. And I don't know, one of you who stayed at Paradise Pier, why don't you give us a little information, general stuff about Paradise Pier?
Well, I can go ahead and go first here. We actually ended up doing a split stay. We stayed a little while at the Grand California and then moved over to Paradise Pier. But what I remember about Paradise Pier, the pool was up on the top floor. So in the evening, you had a great view of the parks and the fireworks. I remember just going up there and just enjoying that for a little bit. It was relaxing. It was a quieter, calmer hotel. The room was very nice. We had a king-size bed, sleeper sofa, plenty of space.
Okay. And location-wise, sort of orient us where Paradise Pier Hotel is relative to the rest of Disneyland Resort.
I remember just walking out, walking across the street, and you were pretty much in Disneyland at that point. It didn't seem like it was that distance. The trip blew my mind because up until that time, I had probably been a dozen times to Disney World, where you really can't hardly walk anywhere park to park or resort to park. And to be that close to the parks, it just even that hotel just kind of blew my mind at how neat it was just to be that. I don't know if I want to use the word intimate, but being that close together.
Okay.
The Paradise Pier Hotel, it's themed around the idea of Paradise Pier at Disney California Adventure, and so there's a beach theme throughout this hotel. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting placement because it sort of feels like it's the farthest away, but if you look at where it's positioned within the context of the resort, you know, in an aerial shot on Google Maps or something, you can see that if you cut through the Grand California, you're actually a little bit closer to the front gate of either park than the Disneyland Hotel. It's a little bit of a circuitous route, but it's a little ways away. It's not quite as centrally located as the Grand Californian is, but it's easy 10-minute walking distance to the front gate. So it's very, very close and intimate within the rest of the resort.
Well, and this is one of those, again, Disneyland versus Disney World things. You know, from a Disneyland perspective, people tend to talk about Paradise Pier as being, oh, it's so far away, where it's still closer to the theme parks from, you know, Paradise Pier to the park entrances than it is at Disney World from, say, the Grand Floridian to theme park entrance.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and people consider Grand Floridian just right next to the Magic Kingdom. So it's a matter of perspective there, I think. Okay, and let's again talk then about just generally what has become the flagship hotel of the Disneyland Resort, which is Disney's Grand Californian Hotel. And David, why don't you give us a little introduction to the Grand Californian?
Okay, the Grand Californian is somewhat reminiscent of the Wilderness Lodge for folks that have been to Disney World. It's a very, I'll call it, heavily themed hotel in that the building itself looks like, you know, essentially something completely outside of what you would expect for the area. It looks like, you know, someone had taken a massive Californian forestry lodge made from, you know, giant oak logs and transported it into, you know, the middle of Anaheim. It's a beautiful area, and it's actually kind of located right up against Disney California Adventures. So you can literally walk out of the hotel into DCA.
Right. And it also is the only resort at Disneyland, or only hotel at Disneyland Resort, that has a Disney Vacation Club wing.
That's correct.
There is a DVC area there. It's still fairly small. There's only a handful of DVC rooms. And so from what I understand is that DVC members tell me, you know, it's one of those things, if you want to stay there, courtesy of Disney Vacation Club, you really need to own points there.
Yeah, you do. When we stayed there, we were DVC members, but they hadn't opened that yet, so we were able to just stay in the regular hotel part, which was phenomenal. Like David was saying, it's very reminiscent, if you've ever been to Wilderness Lodge at Walt Disney World. It just, and again, it's location. It's the only Disney hotel that I know of where you can literally walk out the back door and you're in downtown Disney, or you're in California Adventure, or 5 minutes you're in Disneyland. It's that close.
Right, right. All right, well, let's start talking in a little bit more detail and maybe help people understand, you know, what each of these hotels are and why you might choose each of these different hotels. Because one of the things, again, you know, highlighting a difference between the way things work at Disneyland as opposed to Walt Disney World, I would say that probably just based on both price point and amenities, at least the Grand Californian Hotel and the Disneyland Hotel, and maybe Paradise Pier as well, but certainly the first two, if they were at Disney World, would be categorized as deluxe resorts. Paradise Pier might be a moderate. It's maybe a close call there, but you know, you do have multiple restaurants at Paradise Pier, so you might still find yourself in the deluxe category. In some ways, these hotels are more similar than they are different, but we probably do need to spend a little time here talking about what makes each of them unique. So let's step back again and start with Disneyland Hotel.
I'll kind of chime in that definitely with the level of amenities, it's a deluxe hotel. And I'd say one of the things that maybe sets it apart is the pool area. If your kids love water slides, the Disneyland Hotel is probably the place to go because it's got a very elaborate monorail slide that drops kids down, I'm going to guess, 2 to 3 stories. There's a couple of smaller slides to go along with it, but it's just a huge pool area, and there's a lot of kind of cabanas and umbrellas, very nice seating. One of the things that I noticed about it compared to Disney World is that there was absolutely no shortage of chairs or recliners or umbrellas or such. They plan for big crowds, and they fill up big.
Okay. Yeah, that resort complex, it was one of the big, important renovations from this last round of renovation that they kind of completed over the last couple of years. It's been all done since really sort of middle of last year. I guess almost 2 years now, because 2012 they were wrapping it up. But the pool renovations were really extensive. I don't know, Kevin, what's one of your favorite things about Disneyland Hotel?
Well, Aaron, you just teed that right up for me. I thank you very much for that. So one of the things that they really did a great job on with this renovation, in addition to the pool, is that they completely redid the restaurant that's available right in the pool area. And these three towers basically form a U, and the pool sits in the middle. And so no matter which tower you're in, you either get a really great pool view or some view of either the the rest of the resort or the greater Southern California area. But right centrally located in this pool area, they have two restaurant locations that are sort of built into the same building. First is Tangaroa Terrace, which is a counter service eatery. It's got some Polynesian related foods, but sandwiches and burgers and that sort of thing. A lot of quick grab and go stuff. But the thing you do not want to miss on any visit to the Disneyland Resort is the other side of this building, which is Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar. And I'll tell you, I've been to a lot of tiki bars, and this is by far one of the best that you could ever find. Great tiki drinks, very authentic tiki atmosphere with real tiki music, not just, you know, sort of like top 40 music being played. And there's some really special Disney magic that takes place in this tiki bar. So if you order certain drinks, certain things will happen. I don't really want to spoil it, but, let's just say there might be some audio animatronics going off and other sound effects. And there's some really fun things and features in this bar that sort of takes an Adventureland theme. So there's references to the Jungle Cruise and the Indiana Jones. Really, really top-notch. And it's just a great location here for Trader Sam's Enchanted Tiki Bar.
Well, and yeah, one of the things I think is worth mentioning is that there's actually a Walt Disney World connection to the new Trader Sam's, because my understanding is that much of the decor for Trader Sam's was actually sort of repurposed from things that were previously part of the Adventurers Club in Downtown Disney in Walt Disney World.
Yes, that's right. There's some references to that as well, for sure.
So that's
and this hotel, I think you're right to talk about the restaurant amenities here, because they do have several really good restaurants. They have Goofy's Kitchen, which is a character restaurant, and they also have
Club 55.
Club 55. So Steakhouse. And so this is a really good fine dining establishment here in the Disneyland Hotel. And we'll talk when we get to Paradise Pier, quite a bit of a step up. Really good, conference facilities here as well. They do a lot of conferences here too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, one of the other nice things about the Disneyland Hotel in terms of location is that it's directly adjacent to Downtown Disney. So in addition to all of those amenities that are, in the hotel itself, you also have, literally just outside the doors, the Downtown Disney venues that are available to you as well.
Yep, absolutely. And, the monorail is interesting because when they redid the whole Downtown Disney project about a decade ago, they actually tore down some of the early portions of the Disneyland Hotel. And so the old monorail station, which was right directly adjacent to the Disneyland Hotel, is actually now, a couple minutes walk away. But that's another option, too, is you can take the monorail into Disneyland if you have your park tickets and whatnot. And this is the convenient hotel to use that from.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it really is the only hotel that has direct access to the monorail at Disneyland. So it's important if you've got kids who are, monorail fans, that's where they would want to be. One of the other interesting things to me about Disneyland Hotel, and again, I guess I'm drawn to the things that contrast it with the options that are available at Disney World, because, that's my frame of reference for most things. And one of the things that I found really interesting is that there are some very interesting, unique rooms, I guess is the way to put it, at Disneyland Hotel. Some suite options that you just don't commonly find at Walt Disney World. These are rooms that are not easy to book because they're unique, and they're not cheap. But they certainly do provide the opportunity for some unique experiences. Not only do they have, standard guest suites that are available, one-bedroom suites that can also be combined into two- or three-bedroom options if you have a large group traveling together, because they're in DVC parlance, they'd call them lock-offs. But in addition to that, there are what they call these signature suites in each of the towers. And they have, special decor and really detailed extra themes. It's almost like they took the same idea as the royal guest rooms at Port Orleans in a moderate resort in Disney World and said, well, gee, what could we do at, deluxe prices and without the limitations of the size of a moderate resort hotel room?
Yeah, one comment I'll make is for the Disneyland Hotel, you can comfortably sleep five in there, which for our family is a key point. They've got essentially kind of a side bed in addition to, say, two queen beds, so there's plenty of room.
Right, yeah. And then, the signature suites that I was talking about, you've got things like, I don't have all the details on them in front of me, but, having looked into them before for clients, I believe it's the Big Thunder suite that, can sleep nine. There's a Pirates of the Caribbean suite, the Mickey Mouse penthouse, a Fairy Tale suite, Adventureland suite, and these are each unusual, unique rooms that if you were looking for something really special, it's available. And it's not available in any place else, you know, that I'm aware of in a Disney property. Not those kinds of rooms. All right, so let's move down the road a little bit and talk a bit more about Paradise Pier, and maybe talk about, you know, some of the amenities that are available there. And one of the things that strikes me about Paradise Pier, I think, as we've mentioned, it kind of gets a bum rap sometimes for its location, but particularly some of those upper level theme park view rooms at Paradise Pier have some really stunning views of California Adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to pay a little bit of a premium for that view, but it's definitely worth it, especially if you are into DCA as a park. You know, some people love it. Some people, maybe it's not their favorite. You know, it's striking when you come into this hotel, especially if it's the third one, you know, if you're visiting all the hotels at this resort, because you do not get the typical grand lobby experience that you get, especially at the Grand Californian, because, again, this was a property that Disney took over. But they really have done a nice job of retheming and applying the Paradise Pier theme, you know, with some concept artwork for Paradise Pier and then applying the sort of beach theme throughout. You know, they have a very small counter service type restaurant, very limited menu. It's really more of a grab and go kind of place. And then they have one full sit down restaurant, which does a character breakfast in the morning and then a regular meal at night. So this is definitely, from a Disney World fan perspective, probably much more like a moderate in that respect. And But I did find the rooms very, very nice. You know, we've always actually been people who've gone to the off-property hotel locations just to save money, and, you know, especially didn't feel like the on-property was necessarily worth it all the time. But now that Cars Land and DCA have come up and, you know, attendance is really high and that park doesn't open later than Disneyland, we have felt like we really wanted every opportunity to explore the parks early. And one of the nice things that Disney has done in the last couple of years is they have instituted a early admission program for guests staying at these Disney-run hotels. So every morning you get an early Extra Magic Hour at one park or the other, and, you know, it's on a rotation. And, you know, that's a pretty nice perk when the parks are crowded, even at Rope Drop. And so, you know, it's worth maybe that extra $100 a night that you, you know, save staying off property. And so I think it's a real nice perk. And, you know, now I think Paradise Pier is kind of our go-to. And they've got the same, you know, fifth bed couch situation in super comfortable rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, space-wise, I think it's where it really stands out in terms of the value of Paradise Pier, because, you know, the downtown Disney, or I'm sorry, the Good Neighbor hotels at Disneyland, and we're going to talk about some more of those in some more detail in a future show. They strike me as, for the most part, having somewhat smaller rooms. There's more suite options available. There's some nice things about them. You know, I don't want to criticize them too heavily, because there are some great options among the Good Neighbor hotels, but it's sort of a signature of the Disney hotels that the rooms are substantially larger than you're going to find at most of the Good Neighbor options. Kevin, you mentioned that you had stayed at Paradise Pier. What were some things that stood out to you?
I think one that Kevin had brought up is that the rooms that And I would say it's probably closer to a moderate than one of the deluxe resorts, but I remember there were five of us, and the youngest one was probably, actually there were six of us, I think, and the rooms was just plenty of room, because it was my mother-in-law and my wife and I and our three kids, so we had plenty of space. And even though with the two beds and the couch, everything, we all fit. I wouldn't say that the dining options were outstanding. They were more than adequate, but nothing really sticks out as a wow factor of those two restaurants in my mind on that trip. But I think, and I mentioned this at the opening, that the thing that really stuck out in my mind was the pool up top.
Right.
And just going up there in the evening, and even just going up there and relaxing and sitting, doing a little swimming, catching the fireworks and the views were, and this was before the Top of the World opened, was really, and some ways in my mind, it's even better than the Top of the World at Walt Disney World.
Right, because you've got the open sky above you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, I think that it's important to mention that, too, because it means that you can get some of those gorgeous nighttime views of the theme park without paying the premium for the, you know, the higher floor, in some cases, specialty rooms that have
exactly
that special theme park view. So that's a good note. I mean, the pool isn't as heavily themed as the Disneyland Hotel's pool.
No, actually, it there was, at least when we were there, and it's been a few years since we were there, there was really no theme to it because, like you said, it was a property that Disney had took over.
Right.
So there were no slides or anything like that. It was just more like a nice hotel pool, but
right.
the location, I think, is what set it apart.
Exactly.
The being up on the top floor and the views is what made it something, in my mind, unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They do have one water slide now and a little kids pool in addition to the regular pool and hot
okay.
tub. But yeah, I mean, it's certain, again, a step up from your Good Neighbor Hotel pools for sure, but definitely a step down from the other two Disney hotels.
All right. So I guess the next step is to talk about the now flagship hotel of the Disneyland Resort, and that's the Grand Californian Hotel. What are the things that to you, you know, really make it the flagship hotel?
I think for me, is going back to, and Kevin mentioned this a little bit, and I believe you did too, that the closeness to the Disneyland Hotel to Downtown Disney, it's even closer at the Grand California. So it opens up a lot of your evening entertainment options, a lot of your dining options. Literally, I would say to probably almost, in my mind, than any other Disney hotel, your options you have available and the things to do just can't really be beat.
Okay, so the big thing is the convenience, really, to everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a lot of theming, as was noted earlier, in this hotel. I mean, it's from sort of, you know, from the first sight all the way down to the details into your room. It's, you know, it's this craftsman style, lots of wood, lots of stone, a very, very relaxing kind of environment. You know, it's got this very impressive lobby. From, you know, people who've gone to the Animal Kingdom Lodge or Wilderness Lodge will be, you know, familiar. But super impressive, and there's a lounge and bar right off of there that's, you know, a great place to take a break in the middle of the day. They have a quick service a location for food, and then they have two very, very fine restaurants. The Storyteller Cafe is a, you know, sit down and they do buffets mm-hmm. from time to time, and then Napa Rose is the, you know, their 5-star signature restaurant location. I haven't eaten there. I guess David has. So we can talk about that. But I mean, I think that, you know, this is not the hotel that you're going to go to that, you know, well, if you have to think about whether you can afford it, you probably shouldn't stay here because you're paying, you know, you're paying a lot for the convenience. And it's not like these other hotels are so far away that, you know, you'd be saving lots and lots of foot traffic or whatever. You're really staying here because you want the ultimate experience to be so close to everything and to be completely in this theme. It's so well done. But, you know, it's a hefty price to pay for sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let me throw a little plug in there for DVC because that's the only way we could afford it.
Well, and I was going to, you know, I was going to ask, you did the sort of split stay option with it.
Right.
So how did that work out for you?
Actually, it worked out really well, just like staying at Walt Disney World, you know, when they do a split stay. Bell Services moved all our luggage. We took what we wanted to in the parks that day, came back to the other. We did do DVC points for both parks, for both hotels. They hadn't built the villas yet, so we
oh,
had
okay.
did, when we went. They had just started building them, so we ended up doing DVC for both. And I do see now they have opened that option back up where you can – you also use DVC points once again at Paradise Pier and at the Disneyland Hotel. So I like the split stay, and I would probably do it again because it gives you not necessarily more options, but more – what am I looking for here? Not opportunities, but
well, it
different
– it gives you more bang for the buck. I mean –
yeah, well, and different experiences.
Sure.
Each one is unique, and they have their own pluses, and it gives you a chance to experience more of it. Sure. And, you know, you can stretch your stay a little bit because, like Kevin was saying, the Grand California, it's probably the most expensive. It definitely takes the most points on DVC, so it allows you to kind of extend your stay by staying at a lower-costing one to spend a few more nights.
Right, sure. Yeah, and you know, I mean, what makes it a deluxe, it's all of these things we've been talking about. You know, the extensive theming, it's got more dining options than any of the other hotels. It's got the sort of the flagship restaurant in addition to the being the flagship resort. Mm-hmm. So the Napa Rose restaurant is sort of, you know, the California's answer to some extent to, you know, the best that Walt Disney World offers. I don't know, David, what did you think of Napa Rose?
Yeah, actually, I would say, say comparing it to Victoria and Albert's, it is not going to be as exotic of a food selection, but it's going to be pretty darn close, and it's going to be, you know, very high quality, you know, top notch gourmet food prepared by some amazing chefs. So we had the good luck to do the chef's counter there, where you actually kind of can do what's called the chef's tasting menu, where the they basically decide what you're going to eat based on their specials of the day, and they put together a custom menu for you. And it's, you know, that compared to the price of the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's, considerably less. So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's you're getting the best of sort of the California cuisine approach to fine dining, where Victoria and Albert's is more of a sort of the French approach to fine dining. So they're obviously there are differences there, but in each case, you're getting sort of the cream of the crop.
Yeah, it's definitely a great experience if you're a bit of a foodie. Oh, and before I forget, they do also have a kids club there. So much like, you know, say the Neverland Club at the Polynesian or the Cubs Den at Wilderness Lodge, mm-hmm. You know, if you don't want to take your kids along for the gourmet meal, they'll be more than happy to eat their mac and cheese in the kids club and have a great time playing there all night long.
Yeah, and that kids club is open to any of the hotel's guests, so you don't have to be staying at this hotel to use that.
Yes, good point.
Yeah, that's a great tip, and it kind of leads us into what I wanted to do next, which is to just kind of talk overall about, you know, and we touched on it a little bit in bits and pieces, but maybe to try and tie this all together and bring it all back home, you know, what's the argument for staying on property? And we all know, we've talked about it, that there is a price difference, that you're going to pay, you know, anywhere from probably $700 to $1,000 more to stay in a Disney hotel for a 4-day or a 4-night stay than you are to stay off property. I think those numbers are pretty accurate. So why, you know, what's the argument for spending that extra money? What do you get? What are the kinds of things that you're getting in general from these hotels for that additional cost?
I think one of the key things is time, in that you're closer to the parks. So there's, you know, even while the other hotels are not necessarily far away, they're going to be typically, you know, a little bit longer to get there. Plus, there's the fact that you can get into the parks earlier.
Okay, so still, proximity is a big issue, and that extra magic hour that they've adopted is making a big difference.
Yeah, and, you know, the quality of the furnishings and whatnot are certainly a lot better. You know, I had actually a bad experience at one of the off-property hotels, one that I would actually normally recommend with the bed, and did a number on my back a little bit. And so, you know, the quality of the beds, for example, much, much higher at these Disney hotels.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things here, and it seems so simple, but, you know, hotel mattresses, they just get worn out. You know, they get beaten on pretty badly, especially popular hotels, you know, at a resort like Disneyland, where their capacity, you know, they're used so frequently. And it's just a question of, you know, how frequently they get replaced, and when they get replaced, what quality do they replace them with? And off-property hotels just aren't going to do the same either frequency or quality of the mattress replacements.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is just, you know, the extension of the Disney magic right to where you're staying. I mean, there's things that Disney does that others just can't. Their service and their theming and the whole experience.
Well, and I think along those lines, there's something to be said for the idea that, you know, we're a little spoiled at Disney World. It's fairly easy to stay in the Disney bubble once you get to Disney World.
Oh, definitely.
And you're just kind of absorbed by it. At Disneyland, even if you're closer to the park from the Good Neighbor Hotel than you are in one of the on-property hotels, it still means having to step outside the bubble, you know, every night when you go back to your resort at the end of the night. And so, you know, there's something to be said for being able to just completely surrender to that bubble.
Yeah, I think you said it, Aaron. It's about being spoiled. I tell you, my most favorite thing is just pulling up and having the welcome home.
So is there anything else about the hotels of the Disneyland Resort that you feel like we need to talk about? Because, again, you guys are the experts here on this one.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk about this entrance that is at the Grand Californian Hotel. So this is a side entrance that comes in from that hotel into basically the Grizzly River Run area of DCA. Now, you know, you'd think this would be the best place to go if you're staying at this hotel, but depending on the number of people, you'd actually maybe be better off going to the front gate on an early morning if you're trying to get to Cars Land. Because even with some line of people, you still can probably get there faster in terms of how you walk there than you do from this location. However, this is a really great way to be able to go and take a break during the middle of the day. And even if you're not staying there, you can use that entrance to exit the park and, you know, get your hand stamp and all that business. And, you know, in theory, you're supposed to only use the entrance if you're a hotel customer or hotel guest. You know, my point of view is if I buy something in a hotel, I'm a guest of the hotel. and I've never had any issues coming back in, and I always keep my receipts anyway. And so, you know, what are they going to do? Like, you spend a bunch of money in our hotel at the restaurant, you know, you have to go all the way around? No.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you know, you can use that entrance if you're staying at Paradise Pier Hotel as well. So, you know, it's a good option, you know, to come in and out of the park, especially if you don't want to go all the way around to the front entrance. But just be careful, especially, you know, first thing in the morning, you probably be better served at the main entrance.
With one exception, and that is that entrance is very near the World of Color Fast Pass machine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if that's your first, you know, thing that you need to get taken care of on that particular day, then that entrance is especially useful for World of Color.
Yeah, one thing I'll chime in, sort of a detail on the Disneyland Hotel, is the beds. The beds in the room have the, you know, very elaborate wood carving of the sort of Sleeping Beauty's castle, and there is a switch where when you hit it, it basically turns on a fiber optic display that shows fireworks bursting over the castle, and it plays, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star. It's really, really cute. And it was something that, you know, when I was talking to my girls about the Disneyland trip up just a few weeks ago, you know, one of them brought it up as her favorite part of the trip was just the bed.
Cool. Now, let's see, what they need is a parental lockout switch on that.
Another perk of staying at these hotels, if you do buy merchandise in the parks, you can get them delivered to your room, especially if you aren't leaving that same day. You know, if you're leaving the next day or 2 days later, you can save you a bunch of hassle having to carry your extensive merchandise purchase all around the parks. You can just have it delivered to you.
Yeah, that's a nice perk. I mean, especially if you've got kids who like to buy oversized things.
Or parents who like to buy oversized things, too, right?
Yeah, there we go. I was going to say.
Okay, that's true, too. I try to maintain my self-control a little better, but it happens.
You know, something we hadn't brought up yet, and one of the reasons why we were staying on property when we did is we were with my mother-in-law at the time, and she used a wheelchair. And just a regular wheelchair staying at the on property at those resorts without having all the transportation that you have to take at Walt Disney World just made the trip that much easier and that much more enjoyable. Having the direct access with the wheelchair to go right into the parks and not have to transfer from monorail or bus or boat was a real big, big plus.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, I mean, we talked about distance quite a bit, but, you know, when you're dealing with coming across Harbor Boulevard, like you are for many of the Good Neighbor hotels, that's got to be a lot easier to maneuver a wheelchair, you know, within the resort property than it mm-hmm. is to try and come across that that pedestrian walkway.
Yeah, I will say I've never stayed off property at Disneyland. I had in the early years at Walt Disney World, so as far as Disneyland, I have no experience off property okay. on that one.
One thing that I think we probably need to mention, it's not actually a benefit of staying at Disneyland hotels, but I didn't want to forget to mention this. For those folks who do rent a car during their stay, unlike Walt Disney World, parking isn't free at Disneyland. You can self-park for $15 a day, or you can valet park for $17 a day. $2 a day, I think I'd be tempted to valet it every day. But in either case, there is an additional charge for parking, unlike at Walt Disney World, where parking is free for resort guests.
Yeah, they do have a nice shuttle service. You know, unlike the Magical Express, this one, you know, they charge you for, but it, you know, takes you from the various nearby airports to the Disney hotels. We had used that, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, and it does help you avoid that parking fee. You know,
you bet.
The charge for the shuttle doesn't feel so bad when the alternative is to pay the exact same money to leave a car sitting in a parking garage. All right. Any other important things about the on-property hotels at Disneyland Resort that we're leaving out? I will say that one of the things I noticed recently, just kind of looking over Disneyland dining options, is that many of the best dining options are, especially for table service meals, are in those resort hotels.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the quality is definitely really good in these hotels. You know, the character dining, you know, depending on what you want to eat, might be hit or miss a little bit. And, it, you know, if you're looking for value, character meals are really not your thing.
But that's true whether it's in park or in the hotel.
Yes, true. Otherwise, I think you got a lot of really nice options, and even some of the quick service options are really nice at these hotels. So you do have a very, very nice experience, and again, so relaxing to come to these hotels. You definitely feel like everybody is, you know, bending over backwards from a service standpoint. you really feel like you're on vacation. And when we talk about those Good Neighbor hotels, it may not always be the case over there.
Okay. Good to know. All right. Well, you've heard the things that we've had to say about the hotels of the Disneyland Resort. We'd love to hear your comments. You could email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at Dizdads Podcast on Twitter, participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com, and visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Kevin Bentley.
Have a good evening.
David Matt.
Night, folks.
And Kevin Crossman.
Talk to y'all later, everyone.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.
This has been a Wizard of Oz production.